Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 1 Kings this morning. 1 Kings chapter 9, if you would. While you're turning there, I have a couple other things to tell you. Ladies Fellowship will be this Tuesday here at the church at 6:30 in the evening. So, ladies, if you would, you come, you'll enjoy yourself. And then also another prayer request, if you would, pray for Brother Sidney Hodges. He's having a procedure done on Tuesday morning. He's had a lot of trouble with a foot, and so they're going to perform a procedure, hopefully give him some relief on that. So if you would pray towards that end, I know Brother Sidney would appreciate it. Just pray for he and his wife both. They need your prayer. They've been going through a stretch of trouble, I guess, you know. A dry season, a tough time, but do pray for them, all right? If you have your Bible there this morning, you know, I was thinking here today while I was sitting there and was singing the last song, if you don't like what I preached this morning and you want to take offense at it, I want to remind you I'm constrained by the Word of God to preach what God says, not what we might like. Okay, so you might think about that just a little bit before you unwind too much. 1 Kings chapter 9, look if you will at verse 10. The Bible said it came to pass at the end of 20 years when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold according to all his desire. That then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. I'm going to leave off reading there. Solomon is described for us in the Bible as one of the richest people, or the one of the wisest people in the world. Now, he's also one of the richest. Chapter 10, for instance, verse 23 here in 1 Kings, the Bible said, "So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom." And we sometimes celebrate that wisdom of Solomon, but in spite of the fact, being true that he had great wisdom, it was wisdom given him by God. However, that doesn't mean Solomon never slipped up in judgment. Where we've just read, Solomon did wrong. Solomon did wrong. Look in verse 11. The Bible says that that Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee, seemingly in payment for everything that Hiram had furnished for him in the building of his own house and in the temple. You said, well, that sounds reasonable. And it does sound reasonable to man. However, Solomon made a bad decision. He did the wrong thing. You say, how do you figure? Well, because those 20 cities were part of the territory of the nation of Israel. And God, under the Old Testament Mosaic law, had told Israel that none of that land was to be given or to be sold to anyone. It was given to Israel in perpetuity, all right? Given to the Jewish people. By the way, that has not changed. Not changed. Several years back, our President George Bush encouraged and maybe even pushed Israel into a deal of land for peace. Do you remember that? You remember him talking about that? I remember we took a group of people down towards where his ranch is in Texas, and we protested that land for peace deal. You said, why? Well, do you notice what happened? Part of that land that was given for peace was that Gaza Strip. Now, you do realize what happened last October, right? Out of that land given for peace, And there was no peace that was going on there, all right? So we saw how that worked out. Look, you'll never, the Jewish people will never get peace by swapping land that God gave to them, and it's their land. You said, preacher, we're talking about international politics. I don't care. We're talking about what God said, and God said, I'll give you that land, and it is your land, and it doesn't matter if you agree or I agree or anybody else agrees. It's God's business. And by the way, he did make the world. It's his to give. It's his to give. And so he's done that. Now, you say, where are you going with this message? Well, I'm done with the political side. But I want to say this to you. Sometimes you and I get tempted to give something away that we ought to keep. We get tempted to give something away that we ought to keep. I want to preach to you this morning on be careful about what you give away. Be careful what you give away. Now, Solomon knew what he was doing. All right, he intentionally gave these 20 cities to Hiram. He did it intentionally. Sometimes we're not thinking, and we don't realize at the time what we're doing, that we're going to give away something that's very, very valuable that we ought to keep. So I just want to talk to you about a few things like that, all right? Go with me, if you will, over in the New Testament to John chapter 18. The Gospel of John chapter 18. And turn over there. We're going to look at a few verses. We're going to talk to you about something that you ought to be careful that you not give away. You not give away. John chapter 18, verse 25. Here's what the Bible says, all right? And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Now, if you're not familiar with what's going on in the scripture here in John chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ had been taken captive by the mob. He's going to be given a very unfair, unjust trial, and he's eventually going to be crucified. Peter here, the one that said, Lord, all will deny you, but I'll never deny you. But here he is. Here he is. And look, if you're a half-decent Christian, you've built a testimony. You've built a testimony. Some testimonies are better than others. You ought to work to develop your Christian testimony. You ought to develop the very best one that you possibly can. The Bible says, man, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And a testimony helps you to have a good name. We ought to be concerned about that, all right? Work to develop it. But you mark it down that the time's going to come when you're going to be tempted to give away your testimony. You're going to be tempted to give that testimony away. Here's Peter. Peter got into trouble somewhat because of who he was hanging with. He's warming himself at the fire of the lost world. He's hanging around a bunch of the enemies of Jesus Christ. It's folks, when it says the kinsman of the fellow whose ear Peter had cut off. Man, I was there. I think I saw you there. Peter said, nope, not me. Not me. We read other accounts. He denied the Lord three times. And one of those accounts, the third time it came up, he not only denied it, but he cursed and denied it to emphasize, hey, you got the wrong guy. I'm not associated with Jesus Christ. Hey, I want to tell you something. He was accused of being a follower of Christ. He denied it. He blew his testimony. He gave his testimony away that night. Just absolutely gave it away. Ruined it. By the way, it broke his heart. You read and see where the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. But wait a minute. The deed was already done. Already done. Let me say this to you. It takes a long time to build a good testimony. It takes a long time. It takes days and weeks and even years of you being faithful to God, loving the Lord, obeying the Lord, and guarding your mouth. Because we get in trouble with that mouth. We get in trouble. I mean, we get mad. Now, none of you ever get mad. But it's those other people. They get mad. And out of that mouth comes something that'll ruin your testimony. Ruin your testimony. Look, it takes too long to build it. Don't let some worldly crowd's pressure cause you to give it away. Don't get in that situation where that pressure comes and you allow that pressure to cause you to give away and give up that testimony you've labored to build. Instead, there ought to be within you a determination to say, hey, I will preserve my testimony. If you can't do it any other way, get away from that crowd, all right? You get away from them. Your testimony is important. You say, well, preacher, you know, sometimes, wait a minute. You may need that testimony sometimes. Because there may arise that opportunity to you to witness to that loved one or that friend, somebody you really care about. But boy, if you've ruined your testimony, before that individual, they're going to look at you and say, what? Why should I listen to you? Hey, you talk just like I talk. You go the same places I go. You involve yourself in the same sin I'm involved in. And you're going to tell me? You listen to me. You better be careful about giving away that testimony. There may come a day you need it. You're going to need that testimony to be able to talk to somebody and to have their respect, or they'll listen to you. You're going to need it. You be careful you don't give it away. Second thing, take your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. By the way, I'm not going to hit on everything you can give away and you should be careful about, but I do want to talk to you about several this morning. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Hey, don't give away your marriage. Don't give away your marriage. I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe marriage is worth fighting for. I believe marriage is worth fighting for. Multitude of folks have given away their marriage because of doing something stupid. Just something stupid. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I'm going to talk to you husbands first. Because I, being a man, know men. I, not being a woman, do not know women, but I do know men. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wife. Love your wife. Hey, your concentration, your focus, your attention, all of it's be focused on your wife, not on somebody else's wife. Your wife. Hey, by the way, you're here, you're a man, and you're not married. You're not to be focused on somebody else's wife either. You're just not. It's dead wrong. From the scripture, it is wrong. Wrong as it can be. Man, I believe this. I believe every husband in here, you ought to never compare your wife to any other woman in the world. Never compare your wife to any other woman in the world. Period. Don't do it. Don't get to looking at somebody else's. I had a married man years ago tell me, we were somewhere, he and I were together, we were doing something, and I won't go into details, but he was talking about this. I said, that woman, you know, is really good looking. I said, hey man, you're married. He made this statement to me. He said, just because you're on a diet doesn't mean you can't read the menu. That sounds funny, but boy, is that ever wrong. Is that forever wrong? The truth of the matter is, if you're on a diet, one of the dumbest things you can do is read the menu. I mean, that's the dumbest thing you can do. Let's make it up there, you know. Hey, if you're a child of God, if you're married, amen, your concentration, your focus is your wife. Well, man, look, she doesn't look as good as she did when we got... Look at yourself in the mirror. She probably looks a whale of a lot better than you do. Your marriage, I hope, wasn't built on looks. If it had been built on looks, I'd have never got married, okay? Nobody would have had me. Man, look, it's more than that, okay? And look, don't give away your marriage. I just want to tell you, that sweet little thing at work didn't nurse you through your last illness. She's not the one that cleaned up after you got sick. She's not the one that did that. And you think, well, my wife has these issues. Well, she's married to you. Of course she has those issues. Man, look. You devoted. You made a commitment. I hear people say, well, I don't love him or her anymore. Well, start doing it again. I'm amazed. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself in my notes. I can dwell a while on you guys, all right, I know it. Hey, ladies, can I say this to you? That hunk, whoever and wherever he might be, will soon be a chunk. All right? You say, well, I'm married to the chunk. Well, the hunk you think you're looking at will soon be there, all right? Hey, that little fling, if you will, that you're contemplating is going to fling away your children. It's going to fling away your husband. It's going to fling away your marriage. And you're not going to get ahead in the deal. Just not going to do it. Hiram got 20 cities from Solomon, and he didn't like them. I'm amazed at how many people go after somebody. I know of an individual whose wife, and it can work both ways. This particular instance, I know of an individual whose wife had an affair. And she decided that she was going to divorce him and marry this other fellow, who, by the way, was also married. And when it came to court, the fellow whose wife had committed adultery on him and had the affair, he had all the evidence about it, and she didn't think he knew. So when this thing comes into court and she's trying to dump him, he brings it out. Hey, to make a long story short, she lost the husband that loved her, had provided for her. She didn't have to work. He provided a beautiful home, had all the trappings, the stuff that people want, and she was going to give that up. Well, guess what? The one she had the affair with decided, I'm going to stick with my wife. Man, she's out all alone. Hey, look, you say, well, the fire has gone out. Well, reignite it. Love is something that doesn't just smack you upside the head. Whether you agree or not, you decide to love somebody. Now, we're attracted to people. That's fine. We're attracted to people. But those of you who are here and you've been married for any length of time, you realize looks change. Looks change. They don't last. That beautiful body, it ain't shaped the way it used to be, all right? It changes over time. Life is not built on looks. And love shouldn't be built on that. You can reignite and rekindle that fire if you want to. Hey, you can work at it. I'll say this, if you'd work just as hard to keep your spouse as you did to hook them, then you might be able to stay in love. But we get married and then we start neglecting our spouse. We think, well, you're like that guy, this wife asked him one day, she said, man, you never say you love me. The last time you said you love me was the day we got married. And he said, I did tell you then I love you. He said, if anything changes, I'll let you know. That is not the wise way to handle life, okay? It's not the wise way to handle it. We get into life, we get married, we get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of life, and you just lose track of it. You get to the point where you wind up giving away your marriage trying to climb the corporate ladder. Don't do that. Don't give it away. Don't let that happen to you. You better rethink some things. You better rethink some things. I know of people who personally have destroyed their marriage and gave it up. And I think, how'd you do that to your kids? How'd you do that to your kids? How'd you do that to that husband or that wife that loved you? And they put up with your idiosyncrasy. They endured it, and it lasted for years. Hey, our marriage is something that has to be maintained, okay? Don't give it away. Don't let that happen to you. And right there with it, can I just say this? For those of you here that are young, don't give away your purity. Don't give away your purity. Look with me, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I realize this morning I'm preaching something right now that has become passe, and boy, people don't agree, and that's fine. You don't agree, you're just wrong, all right? Now, you're wrong because of what the Bible says, okay? Not because it's my opinion. Now, the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Look with me back in Hebrews chapter 13. I want to put these two verses together, all right? Hebrews chapter 13 and 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1:16 says, you be holy as I am holy. Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Listen, don't give away your purity. I know it's not popular. Popular or not, it's biblical. It is biblical. I believe when two people walk down the aisle for marriage, they ought to walk down that aisle pure. That's both of them. That's the young man and the young lady. They ought to come down that aisle pure. I performed the wedding last year for a niece who was pushing 40. The first, she was getting married, hadn't been married, never had. She walked down the aisle pure. That's the way you're supposed to. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Hey, don't give away your purity because some moron says you would if you loved me. Hey, let me say this. If that moron loved you, he wouldn't suggest you commit adultery. Would not suggest you commit immorality. Yep, I know we live in a day where intercourse is now looked upon as another form of recreation. But it's not looked that way by God. It is to be reserved for husbands and wives. Amen. You say, don't like that. Take it up with God. Take it up with God. Don't give away your purity. Don't do it. Do that. Let me say one other thing. Don't give away your life. He said, what? Don't give away your life. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16, would you? Matthew chapter 16, would you go there? Don't give away your life. God's given it to you. Don't just give it away. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking here in Matthew 16, verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Boy, there's so many people that just give away their life. Just give it away. But what the Lord does to you and I who are believers, He challenges us to follow our Savior. To follow Him. Now all the world pulls at you. All the world everywhere pulls at you. Satan does everything he can. He throws everything your way to pull you away from following the Lord. What I preach this morning is not popular among those that are lost. They would laugh at it. They would mock at it. They would make fun of it. And they're giving away their life. Giving it away. Not doing anything. Hey, the world thinks you waste your life if you serve the Lord and sell out for Him. The world said, man, you're crazy. You're crazy. What in the world you want to do that for? You're just giving it away. Hey, so many give it away when they follow the example of Demas. Paul said about Demas, he said, he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now I'll be honest with you, I'm a human being just like you are. There is a lot in this old world to love. I understand that. There is a fascination with a lot of it. But boy, on the other hand, there's a lot of it that'll bite you when you go for it. And when it sinks its teeth into you, it's not fun anymore. It's not enjoyable. You thought, well, this would be the greatest thing. But it's not. It's not. Hey, so many people just give away their life. Has no purpose, has no meaning. They just live it. There it is, and they die. Nothing to show for it. Nobody hanging around. The Bible talks about a fellow in the Old Testament talking about his death. The Bible said he departed without being desired. What a shame. Live your life, and that's it. That's it. I think about people who've been in this church And I could call their name, and those of you who have been around a few years, a smile would come on your face because of remembering that individual. Because they didn't give away their life. They used it. They used it for God. They left an impression. They left something there. I was sitting last night, my wife and I went out to eat. We usually go to a nice place on Saturday evening. We were at Jersey Mike's, high-class restaurant. We were there eating, and she looked at me, and she said, why'd you, I forget now what it was I did exactly. She said, well, why'd you do that? I said, well, I was just thinking of K.P. Smith. Now, a lot of you in here don't have a foggiest idea. Most of you have no idea who K.P. Smith was. But if you ever went to Silver State Youth Camp years ago, you knew K.P. Smith. Little old short guy, had a finger, this finger right here was cut off at that first knuckle. But he could point further with that one knuckle than anybody I've ever seen before. What a testimony he had. What an influence he had. He didn't give away his life. Hey, Brother KP's been dead for years. Man, I hadn't seen him. I hadn't thought of him in 30 plus years. Or I haven't seen him. I'm sure I've thought of him. But I don't know what brought him to mind last night. But when he did, to put a smile on my face, shook my head, just thinking about him. Why? Because he lived his life. He didn't give it away. What are you doing with yours? What are you doing with yours? I'll be honest. I could preach for a lot longer, but it's right at noon, and some of you are already worried about what lunch is going to be. But I want to ask you this. What are you giving away? Are you giving away your marriage? Young person, are you going to give away your purity, or are you going to protect it and guard it? What are you going to do? Going to give that away? You going to give away your testimony for some moment of pleasure or some moment of anger? You going to give it away? Hey, you're going to give away your life. Lord says you can save it if you want to, or you can give it away. It's up to you. What are you going to do? Solomon made a mistake. He gave away what God said not to be given away. Now, what are you giving away? Would you stand, please, this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Stand together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning as needy people. Lord, sometimes we get careless. Sometimes without thinking, we do something that's going to cause us to give away something that we're going to regret losing. Lord, it's easy and simple to give away our testimony. Dear God, I pray you'd help us to value it. It's become easy for people to give away their marriage. Lord, I pray these folks here will not do that. They'll value that marriage. They'll value their spouse. Realize, Lord, they made a commitment to you when they got married. Lord, would you just help us today? Help us take care in what we might be about to give away. Lord, maybe there's somebody here that's already given it away. Lord, help us to know you're a loving, forgiving God. And Lord, some of those things we give away, we can rebuild, we can reconstruct. Lord, would you just deal with us today? Help us take advantage of the invitation time to come and do business with you. Give us courage. Lord, there's some maybe here this morning that are in danger of giving away an eternal home in heaven. because they've never trusted you as their Savior. Would you deal with them today? Lord, would you help them not to give that opportunity up? Lord, bring conviction. Help them to come down this aisle. Meet me here at the front and say, "Preacher, I need to trust Christ." Lord, help us to take advantage, use the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing this morning, page 370, "I Need Thee Every Hour." And truly, we do need Him. If you need to come this morning, don't stand back. Come. Don't worry about what anybody will think. You worry about what God thinks. Use this invitation this morning to help you.